Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy, everybody. Glenn the Geek here from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 6, 2013, episode 588, brought to you today by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done. Downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day anyhow? Innocuous jibber jabber.
So we're about 5 seconds from the show starting this morning. I go into a sneezing fit. Don't you hate that? You're just about to start talking and you cough or you sneeze or...
You know what I hate, Glenn, is when you sneeze directly into your microphone, which is connected directly to my headphones, which is very incredibly loud. But I cannot blame you because I have been a sneezing, coughing mess, and I feel better. I don't think I sound 100%, but I at least feel a little bit better.
You sound better than you did on the other day. You do sound much better than you did on Monday.
Oh, that's good, because it couldn't feel much worse.
We got the allergy thing going down here in Florida. It's that time of year. It starts in February. February, March is the worst time. And you leave your car outside and you're near trees, it's going to be yellow in a matter of a couple hours. You could write your name in it.
Oh, so. This fun days of pollen. I remember that before I just had cactuses in the yard. But, yes, Atlanta, which is the world, like, home of pine trees, I remember one time my brother, we shared a house, and I had opened my windows, not really thinking it was in a spare room, and my brother turned on the attic fan, and that sucked all of the pollen in through the open window, and I walked into my bedroom, and it was covered in yellow. My bedroom was yellow. And I just thought, wow, I hate pollen. And so you're experiencing that right now, and I feel good that I'm not.
I took allergy medicine this morning, but it hasn't kicked in yet. So
you can see the positive side, Jimmy.
Yeah, now that we've just bored everybody with our health stuff, let's go to Jennifer and find out what we're really going to talk about today that isn't yellow and sticking all over our cars.
Oh, thehorse.com's here. It could be yellow and sticky.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
On today's Back on Track Wednesday edition, Glenn's crappy list makes an appearance, affording Jamie the opportunity to point out the obvious and then run amok. And then the Horse and Country TV stops by with the velvet voice of Victoria Spicer, and she has the latest listings for our equestrian-esque entertainment. And then we wind up our Wednesday with thehorse.com, who will be chatting about the American Association of Equine Practitioners and what they will be up to in 2013.
Thank you, Jennifer. Daily Winnie time. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to a lady by the name of Jeannie Troxell, who lives in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and she was on Route 40, which is a major highway out there, and she came across these two little minis that were running across the highway, apparently causing real problems. They caused a major accident that put some people in the hospital. And so she got out, and with the help of a bunch of her friends along the highway, they chased these minis for hours. There's a video online. There's a video online where they had to get ropes from the police, and they actually had to corral these minis along the highway. They just were not interested in being caught. And apparently they got loose when their owners were trying to load them into the horse trailers, and they got loose. Now, why they were without halters when you're trying to load them into a horse trailer, I'm not sure. Know that part.
Why? Yeah, they didn't put a halter on them, or did they get away from the halter?
I don't know either. And apparently it was a mom and a baby son, and the mom's name was Aurora, and her son was Prince Philip. So there you go. And Prince caused hours. The traffic was backed up for hours along this major route in Oklahoma City.
Wow. I mean, I'm reading it, and I love the quote because this is so Oklahoma. This is where my husband's family is from. Her quote is, "We almost hit the horse. All you could do is, oh, my God." Not all you could say. All you could do is, oh, my God. That's in quotes. Awesome. Proud of Jeannie.
That's the Midwest. Your turn.
Well, it's a boy. It's a boy. I have something in common with one of my favorite racehorses. Her name is Goldakova. Goldakova, of course, you know that name because she actually won the Breeders' Cup Mile. She won the Breeders' Cup Mile 3 times in a row. She finished first 2 times in a row and came in the top 3 her 3rd time. She was an absolutely amazing mare, retired with a record of 17-6-3, and she earned over $7 million. Does that Goldakova sound familiar? Well, she had a baby, and her baby was a boy, and she was bred to a horse named Galileo, and at Coolmore Stud, the 8-year-old mare just had her first baby, and will go back to Galileo once it's all said and done. So congratulations to Goldakova and her connections.
Wow, you have something in common with the racehorse. Is yours going to be fast?
Zenyatta's first baby was a boy. Goldakova's first baby was a boy. Oh, my God, I'm having a boy. Crazy.
Well, you're tiny. Maybe your boy will be tiny like you, and it could be a jockey riding Goldakova's baby.
Yeah, it may be small enough to be a jockey. My husband and I are not huge people.
Well, we can hope. We can hope. Well, what's coming up for the prize on Really Bad Ads this week?
Oh, my gosh, this is the exciting, coveted prize week, okay, because this is the week that we give away, drum roll, a flexion fork by EquityMFG.com. A flexion fork is the manure fork that we talk about all the time. It's the premium quality, built in the USA, designed to last for years. I ran over it with a gator. It still works. Doesn't even break. No tines broke or anything. This is the also the one that our listeners pick up frozen poop with without a problem. So this thing is awesome. I actually have been picking up oranges out of the yard, and I just it gets heavy, or you get a whole entire thing of oranges, and it doesn't even bend. I mean, it's such an amazing thing, and as you said, it has like suspension in it. This is the coveted prize for Really Bad Ads. So you're going to need to get your Really Bad Ads in, search Dream Horse, search Craigslist, search whatever you need to search to find just a really darn bad ad, and send it to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com, and we will make sure it gets in there, and you are in the running to get that coveted flexion fork from Equity.
Thank you, and of course, we want to remind everybody that next Wednesday, we will start the Wheel of Trivia. It's a new game that we're starting here on Wednesday mornings, first thing at the beginning of the show. And we're going to take callers, and we're going to ask them. The way it's going to work is we're just going to ask them one trivia question. You have to get one trivia question right. And if you get that right, then we get to spin the wheel of prizes that Jennifer has on her desk. And we have all kinds of good stuff. I was talking to companies yesterday, lining up the prizes. We're going to have some really neat stuff. And wherever the wheel lands is what you're going to win. So you're going to want, and we're going to give away two or three prizes, depending how many people we go through to ask the trivia questions.
So we're giving away more than one prize potentially. So
yeah, we're
going to
play
the first
two or three every Wednesday. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
So,
and then also, when we give away the trivia, I mean, they have to answer the trivia question within a certain amount of time. No Googling, right?
Yes, we're going to have to make sure we put a time limit on that because it's kind of easy to do that nowadays, isn't it?
Like, I can answer any trivia question. Just go. Ask me. let's see.
I think we're just going to have to say 5 seconds. You get 5 seconds. Because if you don't know it in 5 seconds, you don't know it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think we'll do that, and we'll have you
maybe
be the timer.
Should,
your meme.
Well, that we get the Jeopardy music, and we'll just hit. Do, 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 do.
You think that's copyrighted Jeopardy music?
Say what?
Do you think the Jeopardy music is copyrighted?
Oh, who cares? Probably.
All
I
right,
have played it on the radio before, though, so we played that music before.
Yeah, we have kind of done that. Well, that's over. Don't forget to keep in mind to put down that you need to be here on Wednesdays. Wednesdays at the start of the show to play and win. And as I said, we're going to have some really great prizes. So now the other thing we do every Wednesday is Jockey World Radio puts out a term of the day where they're covering all of the racing terms out there. Frankie Lovato is trying to help us learn all there is to know about racing, and he does a great job with it. We sponsor one day a week, so let's take a listen to today's.
Hi, this is Jockey World Radio's Britlin Wall, and welcome to Frankie Lovato's 365-day Racing Terminology Challenge. With this challenge, we aim to bring racing terms to life for you, the fans, every day of 2013. This is in support of Jockey World's mission to improve, promote, and provide more education, health, and safety in the world of horse racing.
This is Jockey World's Kayla Jarvinen, and in this clip, we'd like to thank Horses in the Morning, the favorite morning radio show for horse lovers worldwide. Visit horsesinthemorning.com.
And this is Frankie Lovato with today's term, number 36 of 365, breeze. Breeze is the term used when describing the way a horse has done a morning workout. The term breeze means the horse has done their morning workout with little to no encouragement by the rider. Morning workouts are published on the Tracks Work tab, released every day after morning training. A particular horse's most recent workouts can also be found in their past performances when they are entered into a race. On a work tab, all workouts are listed by distance, then by name of the horse, then the time of the workout and how the work was done. The abbreviations next to the time could mean one of a few things. The most common are the letters B and H. B stands for breezing, while H stands for handling, which means the horse was ridden with more aggressive urging by the rider. In this diagram, you'll also see BG and HG. This means the work was conducted from the starting gate. G stands for gate. All these bits of information are provided to help the betting public with more facts that'll help them with their selections. For example, a horse that has worked out in 47 seconds breezing is more impressive than a horse that's worked in 47 seconds handling.
For more information, or if you would like to sponsor some of our terminology clips, please email info@jockeyworld.org. You may also be interested in Frankie Lovato's Racing Terminology Booklet, which is for sale in the Jockey World store and available at jockeyworld.org. All proceeds go to Jockey World, a 501c3 nonprofit organization.
You know, speaking of horses breezing handily and breezing, I love that one because there's actually some news, and I thought it was kind of interesting, and I'm really proud of the state of Kentucky. But speaking of racing and breezing and all sorts of drama, you know, Rick Dutrow, we talked about, he was the trainer of Big Brown. He actually, you know, his license was revoked and suspended in New York for 10 years. Well, Kentucky actually just upheld that. He tried to go down to Kentucky, and he's like, I'll just race down here in Kentucky. And they were like, no, you won't, because you're shady. And the last thing that he did actually was he started faking those workouts. He falsified a workout by a horse named Wild Desert. And that is, when you look at a program and you're looking at what you're going to bet on, that is one of the first things that most people look at is, okay, how have they been working? And he falsified them, and then he justified the conduct of saying it was necessary and appropriate. So Rick Dutrow is going down. Yeah, exactly.
For Dutrow is who it's necessary and appropriate for. Gee.
No, good for Kentucky holding up his.
We said that. We said, well, what's to stop him from going to another state? Now we know, I guess, each individual state can determine whether he can go there or not. All he has to do is go to Louisiana. You know, that state's been corrupt for the last 300 years.
Oh, Glenn, send your hate mail to Glenn, two N's, at horseradionetwork.com.
I like Louisiana. We have good friends in Louisiana, and I love the food.
No, nah, dude, but if Aqueducts won't let him run, nobody's going to let him run, I'm telling you. That's a great track. but, no, I think it's great. And I guess with this decision of them actually deciding to hold up this the suspension, that's actually opened the door for them to hold up a lot of other suspensions and to actually revoke licenses of other people. It's kind of the snowball effect. They're going to be able to they say that the ability to deny racing licenses is going to be easier now for the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission.
Well, that's good. And, you know, New York needed to set an example with somebody, and he was the one that happened to fall into their plate. So, you know, because they had so many problems, they needed to throw somebody under the bus. And, he deserved to be thrown under the bus with everything that he did. He just happened to be. See, he stuck his head up in the whack-a-mole at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Got whacked.
Well, no, he 67 times, okay? He stuck his head in the wrong way. 64 violations in 15 different jurisdictions, okay?
So
that's sticking your head out a little too many times.
So New York wasn't very good at playing whack-a-mole. It took them 67 times to hit him. So
yeah, but they got him. They got him, and everybody's holding it up. It's awesome.
Let's have some fun this morning. It's Wednesday. It's time for Glenn's Crappy List Wednesday. And I thought, you know, there's a conversation that we have to have, because guess what next week is, Jamie?
I have no idea.
It's
my last week before I go on vacation.
Yes, it is that. You know, we determined, though, after watching Hawaii 5-0 and all the other shows about Hawaii, that you shouldn't go. We decided that last night because there's too many murders and people getting killed all over the place in Hawaii. It's a dangerous place. You should just
I'm going to take my chances.
Well, next week's Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah. See, I forgot about that because I'm focusing past that.
Yes. You're thinking about vacation, and you know, Chad's not going to do anything for you because he has a good excuse. See, the next week he's taking to Hawaii, so he can go, oh, I don't need to do anything on Valentine's Day.
I've already heard that. And actually, when we booked the tickets, let's see, I found out I was pregnant in sometime in October, I guess, and November, and I think it was like November 2nd. We booked the tickets, and November 2nd, about 30 minutes after the tickets, he goes, you know this covers me for Valentine's Day, right? This covers me. I know it's a week later, but it covers me. So, yeah, I've heard it already.
Well, I figured. Now, the question I have is, you know how what happens when when we have Christmas and we talk about birthdays? With horse girls, it's always different because you really should get them something to do with the horse because they don't give a crap about anything else. Does that really apply to Valentine's Day, though? Or is the horse girl thing exempt and horse girls really just become girls at that point?
That's a great question. And I think we would have to put that out to our listeners because I'm going to say that, you know, my birthday, I always get things for the horse. On Christmas, I always get things for the horse. You know, to me, the best gift for Valentine's Day is a massage and a really nice dinner.
So that's a girly thing.
Yeah, it's kind of a girly thing because to me, Valentine's Day is about date day. You know, it's not just you. It's not all about you with your birthday. It's not all about, you know, whatever for Christmas. It's all about you as a couple. So to me, I would say, let's honor the whole couple spirit and not do something. I mean, yes, you know what? A great way to celebrate Valentine's Day, which for you to go on a trail ride with me, sure, but together.
Okay, that wouldn't be our first choice, by the way. It would be something that didn't have the horses involved at all. Kind of like the whole massage dinner thing, yes. I don't know. Jennifer, what do you agree with her? Oh, I think she's off doing something else. All right, so do you agree with her?
That wouldn't be your first choice.
Yeah.
You used the wrong adverb there. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Granted. All right, so I'm going to dig myself out of the hole by going on to my crappy list. So I had to come up with one of the things that happens at Valentine's Day is people get candy. Well, the USA Today just posted their list of the top 10 candies of all time. Now, Jamie and I, we don't agree on movies most of the time. We don't agree on TV shows, obviously, because anybody who listens to the show knows that. We don't agree on food because, you know, I'm a meat and potatoes guy, and Jamie's more of a broccoli and tofu girl. So, you know, we don't agree on that. So let's see if we can agree on candy. So let's see if we have
What? How have we been able to do this show for this long? You're right. You're pointing out all sorts of, fundamental differences. Like, it's pretty lazy.
There will not be any Valentine's dates for us. I can say that. But the reason we can do this show is we're not sitting across from each other. We're 3,000 miles apart.
That's true. That's true. That has helped things. I'm not going to lie.
So let's talk about top 10 things. And I have some sound files I did. And let's see if you, a couple of these, I'm going to play the sound and you can try and guess what it is. These are retro commercials that date back to the 70s and 80s for these products. So this is, some of the listeners here are going to go down memory lane, but I'll play a little bit of this one and see if I can stop it before it says what it is. This is number 10 on the list of the top 10 candies of all time.
Anytime you want.
Oh, what is it?
Now, you know, another fundamental difference between you and I is that you're so much older than me.
Let's hear the whole thing. You'll know what's number 10.
Anytime you want delicious chocolate, there's no need to go looking.
I still don't know.
You know why we know that one so well, Jamie, is because we grew up around Hershey. Matter of fact, Jennifer's mother grew up in Hershey, right? As a matter of fact, her house is now where the employee parking is for one of the plants. So we grew up there going to Hershey Park all the time, and they played that song endlessly at Hershey Park. So
was Hershey Candy Bar?
Hershey Candy Bar, yep, number 10.
All right.
Okay. It's not the Great American Chocolate Bar anymore. It's now the Great Mexican Chocolate Bar.
That's right. They moved a lot of that to Mexico now. They don't make a lot.
Yeah. And we're all really, really mad at them. Listen up, Hershey.
I thought you were being racist for a second, but no, I can't get it now.
So
only Mexicans like Hershey's.
Did you think the Hershey bar would be higher up on the list? I really did.
It's boring. We got too much now.
Oh, that's true. All right, number 9 is something I never liked, never ate them. You might have. So this barely means you love it. It's number 9 is the Twix bar.
Oh, my God, I love Twix.
See?
You know what's awesome about Twix is there's two. Just when you think you're done, you get another one.
And that's what the commercials always said, isn't it? And they also said in the commercials they had the perfect ratio of chocolate to caramel and the biscuit.
I told you that the greatest candy invention of all time, and I actually have a friend that works for Mars, and I pitched it to him, was to take a Snickers bar, replace the nougat with the cookie from Twix. Boom! Best candy ever.
Number 8 is something also that I don't like and never – I don't know if Jennifer likes this or not, but the Butterfinger.
Oh, how do you not like a Butterfinger?
Doesn't
really?
It's not mostly chocolate.
So good, and it gets stuck in your teeth, and it's delicious. Oh, my God, pregnant woman hungry. Hello.
Okay, so far we are not agreeing on candy either.
Twix? Let me just tell you, my top 3 candies right now are Twix, Butterfingers, and Reese's Cups.
All right, we'll find out. Number 7 on the list of the top candies, according to USA Today, is gummy bears or worms.
Ew.
And, Yeah, I love gummy bears and worms. I love the little sweet fish, too. The little red Swedish fish. Now, that's before your time, but we used to go to the store, and they used to have them out, and we used to just buy them. They were a penny each, and we used to just buy a whole bag full of Swedish fish. Talk about stick to your teeth. Those red Swedish fish stick to your teeth.
I think they're still selling those, actually, the same exact ones from then, because nobody ate them. Yeah, no, Chad likes the gummy cola. That's his favorite candy.
Gummy cola?
The gummy little, they're little Coke bottles, and they're gummy colas. Yeah.
I didn't know that. Huh. All right, let's take a listen. This is one of Jennifer's favorites. See if you get it.
One, two, one, two, three, four.
Give me a break. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar.
Kit Kat bar.
Back in that was back in the 90s. They had all those commercials, remember, that had all the people singing that song, and they'd do different commercials with different people singing it, from little kids to construction workers.
I know they're good, but I would actually kill for that commercial. Now, I hate those when they're they're breaking the Kit Kat bars or whatever. Yeah. I hate their new commercials. I change the channel.
Jennifer, that's one of your favorites, isn't it, Kit Kats?
Kit Kat bar is the best. I'm so hungry right now.
It's making me hungry, too.
You get four. You get four.
That's true. Number five is what is one of Jamie's favorites, obviously. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are number five.
Oh, should have been higher. Should have been higher.
You know, I'm not a big peanut butter fan, but I can eat it when it's combined with chocolate and a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. I can do that.
So
number
good.
Four is something my teeth just can't handle anymore, and if they're a little bit stale, you just don't want to try, and that's a Twizzler. Isn't it true with Twizzlers that you have to get them when they're so fresh and they're just soft and gooey? Once they're a little bit stale, they're just awful.
That's when you feed them to the horse.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Jennifer. That's when you give them to your horse because they love them.
Let's try the next one, see if you can guess this one.
Can I help you enjoy that Snickers?
You can guess
Snickers.
This one.
Peanuts over chocolate covered mountaintops and waterfalls of caramel. Prancing nougat in the meadow sings a song of satisfaction to the world. The world.
Wow.
Do you remember that? I don't remember that.
I don't remember that at all, but that's fantastic.
Well, you know, I was shocked. You go on YouTube and you put in Snickers song, there are about a million parodies to that little 30-second piece right there. I couldn't believe how many people have parodied it. Number two, on the hit parade, can you guess what the top two are?
Okay, let's see. I mean, how did you, you know, Reese's Pieces and M&M's are still out in the running.
M&M's, number one.
So what's number two?
Hershey's Kisses.
Oh, gotcha. Lame. So the Hershey's Kisses, number two. Now, I do love the ones that are white chocolate with the mint Hershey's Kisses. Those are really good. I like the ones with the nuts in them. But the peanut, the M&Ms, is it peanut M&Ms or just regular M&Ms? Because peanut M&Ms are the best.
All M&Ms. It says here the peanut, dark chocolate, pretzel, and other varieties. And they date back to 1941.
Wow.
Making M&M's. And I agree, M&M's are one of my favorites. I do like the peanut ones, though.
Now, do you remember the old commercials from M&M's where it was kids on the baseball field, and what did the green M&M mean? If you ate a green M&M on the baseball field, what did that mean?
I don't remember on the baseball field.
Okay, I want to see if anybody knows what it is out there. And I'll, after Victoria, I'll tell you what eating a green M&M means. And as we got older, that meaning stayed the same but had a little bit different basis. I'll get to that after we talk to Victoria.
All right, let's take a break. That's the list of the top 10 candies. And Jamie and I found out that we don't agree on a lot of that either. So. All right, let's take a break for our commercial. We'll be back with Victoria from the European Report with Horse and Country TV. Right after this word from Back on Track Products.
Daisy Madden was a member of the 2004 Athens Gold Medal Olympic team, a double silver medalist from the World Equestrian Games from Aachen, Germany in 2006, and a two-time winner of the American Invitational. Daisy is one of the top-ranked riders in the world.
I've been using the Back on Track product for 4 years now, and I use them on my horses and myself, so I can tell you firsthand that they actually work. I've used the back pad or the back brace on myself when my back is sore, and it really helps keep it from getting fatigued, and really helps even once it's sore, it can really help it feel better and get it back to normal again. So I know firsthand that it does. They do work. And on the horses, we start out with the bandages, using it on horses that have maybe minor chronic inflammation in their legs, and it seems to really tighten up their legs. And we went on to use the pads for the back, and I think it really helps loosen up the horse's back. And again, probably the same thing it does for my back. It keeps it from getting too fatigued, and therefore it doesn't get a sore.
That's BZ Madden talking about Back on Track products. You can find all of their products, whether it's for you or for your horse, at backontrackproducts.com. All yours, Jamie.
Well, we are, of course, welcoming this time every week our friends from across the pond. Hello, Victoria.
Oh, no, she has a bad connection.
Let's try again. Victoria, are you there? Well, she's coming in and... Ooh.
Yeah, we'll have to get her to call back. Victoria, if you can give us a call back, we'll try and take you in a second here. Oh, there she goes. So she's going to give us a call back.
Oh, good. Whew, that sounded like you the other on Monday.
Yeah.
That's what you sounded like.
I know, it was terrible on Monday. Is it any better today? Am I doing okay today?
So far, so good. So far, so good. You're doing good. Now, I do have a little bit of news for you, too. You know, show jumper Laura Chapeau,
yeah.
Big time show jumper. Well, apparently she was schooling a horse and show jumping, and the horse got tangled in the rail, she says, in the schooling area, and the horse fell, and then she fell. She says it could have been a lot worse. She's very lucky, but... she only broke her collarbone and pelvis. That is a show jumper for you. Oh, man, I'm really lucky. I only broke my pelvis and my collarbone. She says that they're going to be more definite about what the next step is once they get the 3D imaging done. She plans to stay in Florida to recover. She says it's nice to have so many people rally around and try to help out. But her mom, Mary Chapeau, and probably... dad, Frank Chapeau, somewhere around there, are working on the details to help keep the horses working. She said that's the hardest part is sitting still. And, girl, I know. That, to me, is that's the hardest part of my day is when you have to actually sit down and take a break. I can't imagine having to sit still. So we wish her the best and quick and speedy recovery.
All right, Victoria's back. Let's try her again.
Victoria.
Hi, Victoria.
Can you hear me this time?
Oh, much better.
Oh,
much
good. My Wi-Fi in the countryside is obviously steam-driven, so I think they were running out of coal or something.
And now we're losing you again. So let's see if we can get through the first story here, and if not, you need to get the steam a little hotter, the water a little hotter to keep the steam engine going. Tell us about this 16-year-old that has been beating the top riders.
Yes, there's a bit of a spate of that at the moment with young up-and-coming show jumpers who have just made the move onto horses, and they go and win Grand Prix. And so this most recent one is a girl called Jessica Mendoza. She's a very talented young rider. And, yeah, she's gone to a major Grand Prix over here in Britain and seen off several riders, including Michael Whittaker and Tina Fletcher. So not bad.
Not bad at all. Do you think that maybe that they're winning these because they have no sense of self-preservation because they're young and fearless?
Right, and she's quite a small little slight teenager, so I guess for the horse it doesn't have to heave a fully grown male rider around. He can just fly around with this little lightweight rider.
I know, but that's just amazing that going over those big Grand Prix show jumps, that even the tiniest little rider can make the tiniest little cue with the tiniest bit of inside rein or outside leg or whatever and get the horse to spin around and jump a fence. It's just so incredible.
Exactly, and it's great for us as well to see this young up-and-coming riders, because we've not had a young heroine female for a few years, and it's great to have another one coming through and holding off some really strong opposition.
Yeah, so, well, good luck to them, and it sure is fun to watch it. But tell us a little bit about your new advice column that you guys have. Because this is, I think, something that everybody that is an eventer is dealing with right now, coming out of a winter break.
Indeed, we had a question from a viewer about getting their horse fit. They've just taken on this horse, and it's not done very much work in the run-up to Christmas, and we've had some snow and ice, and she's starting to build up its fitness and thinking, I want to start getting my entries in, but how long is it going to take to get him fit? So we put it to Nick Gauntlet, who's ridden at four-star level, been around badminton, and he has he's given some really sensible advice that you don't need your horse to be super, super fit to go off and do the lowest level eventing. So if you are planning to make your eventing debut this year, do have a quick read of this article. It's at horseandcountry.tv/advice, and you can see all the different articles we ever have on horse care and riding. And I think he's given some sensible advice, which also includes don't get them too fit because you're about to do dressage tests on grass, and if you're going out in early spring, that could be a little bit wild and exciting.
Yeah. Now, are most of the old dressage arenas grass in England?
In eventing, yes, I'd say the great majority are, because we're very lucky that our events are held at all these stately homes across Britain and beautiful ancient parkland. So you do have to practice grass, and it's something, like, I don't think I've done a test on grass with my young horse, so I've always ridden on artificial arenas, and it's something that people have to practice and be prepared for.
Yeah, no kidding. I think that would be challenging. There's one event, one horse trial I can think of in this area where we have to do dressage on grass, and everybody complains about it. Complains about it. I can't. But I guess if you have the Burley home in the background, you aren't going to complain that much.
Exactly. You know, hundreds of years of beautifully manicured parkland. I think it's okay.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So now you also have something going on your website, and are these actually going to get on TV, to how to make your horse or your dog or even your farrier famous?
Yeah, we've had pictures going up on our TV channel, and we'd love to have more videos in. We have to obviously get some budding Steven Spielbergs in the equestrian industry. I'm sure everybody goes out filming their horse, but there must be somebody who's super talented at it. And if we get some really good videos, they're going to go on our channel as fillers in between programs. So if you want to see your horse on Horse and Country TV, head along to the website, and there's a link from the homepage to latest galleries, and you can find out how to send up your pictures and videos. Because YouTube is overrated. Everybody sends things to YouTube, and they disappear in with a million videos about cats singing in the shower or whatever's popular this week. And it's really hard to find it. And so we want people to upload their videos to us, so it becomes a bit of a hub that you know you can go there and see other people enjoying their horses or competing or giving advice or riding advice. So, forget YouTube. Come to Horse and Country TV instead.
And can Americans send them in too?
Indeed, yes. And yeah. Go for it.
And what's really, really cute is the search to find Horse and Country's cutest puppy. Oh, my God. Yeah. Are you kidding me? It's called Puppy Idol. And it is definitely adorable. So go check that out on horseandcountry.tv as well. But you've got the Horse and Country TV galleries, and you can make your horse famous. You can see some beautiful winter photos from people out riding. Puppy Idol and Horses Got Talent. So you can film your horse doing his whatever ridiculous, like my horse, if he can actually turn around and remove his blanket from his body and then poop on it, Is that something worth filming?
I wouldn't say that's a talent, but it's certainly a trick, and I think my horse has learned it as well. He has been known to get his rugs off and found in a corner and trampled into the unmucked out stable. So, yes, I think that's a fun game for horses to play when they're bored at night.
That or open the stall door. It's called
yes,
open
indeed.
The stall door and let yourself out, and because mom forgot to put the chain around it.
That video... You guys have seen the video on Facebook of that horse that was that's the escape artist, and they had the whole video of him open the stall door and then open his friend's stall door and all that. That has made it to the national news. ABC had that on.
Oh, wow.
All
an
I had to do was film this. I could have been famous this whole time. Edward is the stall door opener, and he'll open his door, and then what he does is he goes and he only opens the door of his arch rival, my event horse, Jet. And Jet suffered some major injuries at the hands of Edward the other day. It was like, it's like, I'll meet you behind the schoolyard at noon. And then they go back there and they beat each other up. I don't understand. So I got to lock them both in every
Typical
single
boys.
Night now. I know. Boys will be boys.
Before we get off this idol thing, I'm on the dog one and I'm kind of stuck there because they're so cute. The puppy one. I never heard of a Sprocker. They are the cutest darn things.
Sprockers are half Springer Spaniel and half Cocker Spaniel, and they're very sweet.
Oh my, I never heard of that. They are cute as a dickens.
Oh, well,
going to
it's
be
a puppy
shopping.
Oh my god, that is the cutest puppy ever. And
are
you know what is
that a British thing? I've never heard of them.
Springer Spaniels, yeah, I think they do originate from the British Isles. They're lovely dogs, full of energy though. You need to be prepared to walk very far.
I don't think that anything like I think it was a good idea to make Labradoodles, which is a lab and a poodle mix, but god, I've not seen one that I thought was pretty. They're so ugly.
And yet the one that's on our website has got a 90% approval rating, where some very, very cute little puppies, including my Jack Russell, is nowhere near that high. So Labradoodles are obviously popular, even though they can't see.
Which one's yours?
My
so we can
one is called Dilly, and I think she's very cute.
Okay,
she's a little
on.
Jack Russell Terrier, and she's very naughty.
Tilly.
Just like typical
Dilly.
Jack Russell.
On page 2.
Okay, I'm going to go check it out. Okay, so tell us what's coming up on Horse and Country TV on the actual channel.
Well, this week we've got the start of the Argentine Open Polo series, and if you love polo, this is as hardcore as it gets. You know, the best players in the world, they all have ridiculously high handicaps, and it is fast-paced and furious and just incredible play. So that's starting this Friday on the channel.
Hold on, I found Dilly, and Dilly only has 49% approval rating.
I know, that's so unfair. I think it's like proud owners who go through and instead of like trying to get their dog really high, they try and like mark everybody else's dog low so that their dog looks good in comparison, because there's some very cute puppies there with a low rating. It's not very nice.
No, it's not very nice. I just went and ranked Dilly 5 ribbons, so
thanks.
You
she's
should
happy. I say
very
she's happy
cute.
She's gone in front of the fire today, and she's refusing to move, so she's completely oblivious.
Oh, I'm sure she's not too bothered. So what is your video of the week?
Our video of the week this week is we had a bit of a party a few weeks ago when the Duchess of Cornwall, who's Prince Charles's wife, she invited all the Olympians to her house in central London. So if you want to see where Prince Charles lives and have a sneak preview of all the like beautiful furnishings and priceless paintings and see a few equestrians in their finery as well, then head across to horseandcountry.tv/video and you will be able to find it.
Okay, do you think that if I invited all the Olympians they would come over?
I
probably
think they paid for their flights and ensured a member of royal family was there. I did think it was quite funny, though, that Zara Phillips was obviously part of the team and she was there. And it must be quite odd for her just popping along to one of her relatives. It's not really anything out of the ordinary for her, whereas everybody else is getting to go and spend the day at royalty.
Oh, man. Yeah. I'm just heading over to to mom's house or
exactly.
my aunt's house or whatever. Oh, so ridiculous. Well, tell us finally, before we let you go, what your blog of the week is.
We've had a guest blog this week, which we do from viewers across UK and America, if anybody wants to send us one. And I just really enjoyed reading this one. It was a lady who got a horse at the age when he was just six, and he was a riding school horse, and she was a novice. And she's had him for 22 years now, and they've done everything in that time, and she's just really enjoyed it. And it's just a nice reflection on a very long-lasting, happy partnership. So do go along and read what Janet says about her 28-year-old veteran, Monty.
Oh, fantastic. I love reading stuff like that. Well, you can find all these things at horseandcountry.tv, and you can watch a lot of these videos. Yes, we may not get the channel here if you're in the United States, and we're all jealous that they have this channel. But, you know, go check it out at least online, horseandcountry.tv. And thank you so much for coming on, Victoria Spicer.
My pleasure. I will speak to you next week.
Okay, sounds good.
Well, now we're going to take a break for our song, and we're going to come back with thehorse.com today. We're going to have a full day of guests here, and thankfully her sound improved a little bit there. So we're going to hear, you know, I thought we had Frankie on earlier giving us a tip about racing, and we haven't heard Frankie's song in a long time. So this is Frankie Lovato, the ex-jockey, singing legend in the game. Yes, he does music, too. Right after this commercial from Equestrian Collections. Hi, Glenn here from the Horse Radio Network, and I am with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
This time of year, I spend a lot of time after I get done picking stalls on the couch wrapped up in a blanket because I'm freezing. And I have the perfect blanket for that. It's called the Horsewear Newmarket Throw. And I tell you, it comes in the colors that you have, the same color for your horse, your dog, a jacket for yourself, and now you can have it on the couch. I have mine on the bed as well. It's the softest polar fleece that you ever felt. It's 140 centimeters by 160, so it's not too big, it's not too small, it's perfect for wrapping yourself up in. And it comes in those Newmarket colors that everybody loves that's out there, the Whitney Gold, the Navy, the Brown, and the Charcoal. We have these in stock. They make a fabulous gift. I gave one to my sister who just got a new car. She got a silver car, and I got her one of these gray Whitney blankets for her car, because that's a safety feature as well as being something that you have with you in case you're riding along with, say, a man who likes it really cold and you're freezing in the car. So these things have multiple uses, and they're really, really soft. They make great gifts, and I have two in my house. I love them.
And you can find them at equestriancollections.com. Just search for Horsewear Newmarket Throw. That's at equestriancollections.com. Thunder from a cloud of dust.
he would have done. He'd come from miles to watch him run. An American hero is what they'd say. This is a story to his name. Shot from the gun, he began to start. With every strike, with all his heart. With his desire, he stood apart. The others would have failed.
Well, that's jockey Frankie Lovato and the owner of the Equisizer, and he played a little music in his day, and of course that song was written for Seabiscuit. He was trying to get it in the Seabiscuit movie, but it didn't happen, but he gave it a college try, and it's a great song, so we appreciate him allowing us to play it. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair. This show today is brought to you by BackOnTrackProducts.com. Well, from Facebook, Jamie, I'm starting to get the indication that I now remember what the green M&Ms are for.
So when you were a kid and you ate a green M&M, it meant you were going to hit a home run. Each M&M color designated, like a red M&M was a single, a yellow one was a double. Well, the green one meant you were going to hit a full-fledged home run. Well, as you get older into your teen years or your later years, I guess, home runs have different ideas. And I did, like, who was it that guessed, let's see, the Glenn Forrester said, did Jamie eat a bunch last fall? Yes, Glenn knew exactly where I was going with this, and that is, yes, you get laid. Awful. Just awful. But that's the green M&M, and M&Ms were the number one candy, so there you go. Now you know. When I was a kid, though, we would always, like, pick out the green M&Ms to eat before our baseball games.
Do you think that the M&Ms actually, the different colors taste different?
Well, of course they do. I mean, green tastes like green M&M. Red tastes like red M&M.
All right.
No, whatever. They all taste like chocolate.
Hey, you got to go to the zoo soon.
I know. It's so cute. Yes, at the Phoenix Zoo, actually a Grevy zebra, which is very, very rare, was actually born. And it's a really cool thing for the Phoenix Zoo. They're making international news because of this Grevy zebra. I don't know what the difference between a regular zebra and a Grevy zebra is, besides they're endangered due to loss of habitat, livestock, and poaching. But they are, let's see if I can read, the largest zebra species They have longer legs, more narrow stripes. Well, clearly I should be able to tell the difference in the stripes.
They do have narrower stripes. When you look at the picture of this baby, I mean, this baby has a million stripes, whereas remember when we were out with Dominique and her zebras, they were bigger, fatter stripes. This is like a thousand stripes on this baby. It's so cute.
Definitely not one I would paint on the wall of the nursery because I would never...
No, it has a lot more than your two-striped zebra.
Well, they don't have a name for the zebra. They're actually going to be holding a naming. He was born on January 19th. His parents are Masika and Punda. And there is another male that is going... There's another male foal that was born a couple months ago to Mother Afia. Gotta love these African names. And they are having a naming competition. So you can go check that out. The horsetalk.co.nz is the one that has them. But just Google Grevy Zebra in Phoenix and you can go check it out. See the pictures. So cute.
It is very cute. Very, very cute. Jennifer will post that on our Facebook page as well. And another thing going on, boy, it's busy out there in Arizona right now because right down the street from you in Scottsdale, Arizona, is coming up one of the largest Arabian horse shows in the world.
Oh, yeah.
It's happening February 14th through the 24th at Westworld in Scottsdale. And it is a show. When you're in the Arab world, they all talk, you know, like we in the eventing world here in the United States talk about Rolex in Kentucky. They talk about Scottsdale in Arizona. It's huge.
Yes, they do. It is such a big deal for anybody. Even my non-horsey friends are like, are you going to the Scottsdale Arabian Horse Show? Because they even run commercials on TV for it. I mean, that's how big this show is. And, of course, I always say, no, because it's a horse show with Arabians. I mean, it's like, and I've actually had students go, I went to that show and they just trotted around in the arena. Like, that's a flat class for you. That's what it is.
Now, they're doing they're doing a lot of new things this year. They're jumping and they're doing all kinds of new stuff and trying to increase, show more of what Arabs can do. So they're doing that. It's a 58th annual. There are 2,400 horses that will be shown there over the 10 days. So it's a big
show. I love Arabs. I think they're great. They can do just about anything. I just the Arab people that I know around here that show at these things, I'm like, oh, Lord.
But I'll tell you what. You will see some of the most decorated stall areas. You know how sometimes the jumpers like to decorate their areas and the hunters and stuff. They ain't got nothing on the Arab people when it comes to decorating their stalls.
No,
they go
that is
all
sure.
out.
And if you want to get your tickets to the Scottsdale Arabian Show, you can actually Groupon it. I think Groupon or Living Social is selling cheap tickets for that. So we have that. We also have the it's not Cavalia. It's the newer Cavalia that's coming in town. That's actually here as well. So we had a lot of horse stuff going on in Scottsdale. So it's pretty cool time of year. Now, just to let you guys know, there is an auction. You mentioned Seabiscuit, and it made me think of this. For the fourth consecutive year, Maggie Mae Designs and Old Friends, which Old Friends Equine Organization is a place that houses a lot of retired racehorses, but like more of the famous type of retired racehorses that you can go and visit. And they every year do an online shopping experience for the Kentucky Derby where a person designs a hat and they auction it off, and it's a derby hat. And this week's hat that they're auctioning off is actually for a horse that is at Old Friends. They do each one's kind of named after a horse or designed after a horse at Old Friends. And this is the hat that honors Kentucky bred Popcorn Delight. Now you think, I've never heard of a racehorse that's supposed to be famous called Popcorn Delights. He was a low-level claimer, but he's famous because he was the horse that was in the movie Seabiscuit in the match race against War Admiral. So this horse from the movie. I mean, obviously we know that he was not the horse that was in all the little still shots, but this is the horse that actually raced in the movie and beat the War Admiral horse. And so you can go and look at this hat. They've actually done it in the silks of the Howards, of Charles Howard. So it's red and black and white. Really cool hat. I was like, oh my gosh, if I'm going to have a derby hat, that's so beautiful and fashionable, I could bid on it. And I clicked here to bid, and it's $530 so far. So I'm not going to bid, but you could. And you can check it out. The way to find the hat, it's just go to Old Friends Equine, and you'll find it there. You'll find it on their website, oldfriendsequine.org, I believe.
All right, very good. Thank you, Jamie. And it's that time of the week.
It's time for the weekly health report from Horse.com. Fantastic information and their attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
And, of course, we always have with us Michelle Anderson, the digital editor of the Horse.com, with the Horse Health Report. Good morning, Michelle.
Oh, good morning.
Thank you for joining us again this week, and I think you have a special guest on today. You got the big wigs out today.
We do. We have Dr. Ann Dwyer with us, and she is the president of the American Association of Equine Practitioners this year. Dr. Dwyer?
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us. I know
Thank
that you have a very busy schedule. Let's just start out by explaining to everyone a little bit about AAEP. What is the organization?
I'm sorry, let me turn that off. That's something on my phone. Okay, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. First, AAEP, for your listeners, if they don't know about it, is the largest association of equine veterinarians in the world. It is an organization that is based in Lexington, Kentucky, but it has members in every one of the 50 states, many throughout Canada, and almost 60 countries around the world. The organization is in its 59th year. It had rather humble beginnings in Louisville, Kentucky, when 11 veterinarians got together in 1954 and decided that there needed to be some kind of professional organization for horse doctors. But it has grown and grown and grown, and now it is the leading organization on the planet for dissemination of information on horse care. And we have... I think the last time I checked, it was close to 9,700 members worldwide.
Okay, and I forgot to ask you right off the bat. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your practice?
Sure. I have been a veterinarian for the past 30 years, and I grew up in Central New York in Syracuse, and I still live in New York, just outside of Rochester, where my practice is located. I was a biology major in college, and I went to a college named Mount Holyoke College in Massachusetts. In college, I really was focused more on a career in science, but I had a strong background in horses as a youngster, because I started out as a member of the Limestone Pony Club, and like many of your listeners, my passion was riding horses, competing, taking care of horses, learning everything I could, and I continued that in college. After college was completed, I spent a few years working with thoroughbred racehorses, being a hot walker and a groom and eventually an exercise rider at many racetracks up and down the East Coast. And it was through that experience that I decided a light kind of turned on in my head. And I thought, gee, I could combine my interest in science with my love for horses and become a veterinarian. And so that's what I did. I went to Cornell for veterinary school, and I graduated, again, 30 years ago in 1983, and moved to where I am right now, the Genesee Valley, which is a very horse-rich area right outside of Rochester, New York, a very historic horse area. And I've developed the practice that I now am co-owner of. It is a 5-veterinarian practice, general practice. We do pretty much a little bit of everything, but my own personal interest is equine ophthalmology. So even though I can take care of the new babies and the broken bones and that sort of thing, what I really, really love to do is eyes. And I've tried to do a little bit of research on eyes as my career has unfolded.
And so how did you go from having your own practice to also being president of AAEP?
Well, I think no one practices in a vacuum, and any new veterinarian realizes very, very quickly that if they're going to be current and if they're going to be relevant to the horse owners and the horses that they care for, they need to be part of something bigger than just them. And I went to my first AAEP meeting in 1983, the year I graduated back in Las Vegas, and learned so much, I kept going year after year after year. And became involved at the committee level starting in approximately 1986. And that was my first taste of organized veterinary medicine. And it was very exciting to see that people could gather in a room, analyze problems that were going on in the greater horse world, make some decisions on a rational approach to those problems, figure out a plan of what to do, publicize that plan to the industry and to the horse owners, and actually effect real change in the world. So that got me excited about organized veterinary medicine, and it has always just been kind of a parallel track that I followed while performing as a veterinarian and running my practice. I served on the board of directors of AAP from 2006 through 2008, and became involved in further committees and task forces. And the office of being an officer in AAP is probably the highest honor that an equine practitioner can be awarded. And no one was more surprised than I was when I got the call asking me to join this journey on this path in 2010, but I spent the last 3 years as an officer of this group, and it has been quite a rewarding experience. Challenging experience, but very rewarding.
And lots of work, I'm guessing.
Lots of work. But anybody who works as an equine veterinarian already is pretty much used to lots of work. Anyone who works as a horse owner is used to lots of work. So we're made of sturdy stuff.
So what does it mean for those of us who are horse owners to have veterinarians who are members of AAEP?
I would encourage everyone who owns a horse to choose a veterinarian who is a member of AAEP, just because people who are members have to take care of their horses, because AAEP members are the people who are most up to date and have the most support from their colleagues. So as I said before, none of us can practice in a vacuum. People who are AAP members have over 9,000 people they can turn to when they've got a problem and they can't figure something out or they need additional resources. AAP is dedicated, number one, to the health and welfare of the horse. And so for nearly 60 years, we have been the go-to source for all the new developments in science. If a university develops a new test or a new drug or finds a new disease, generally it makes its way to the AAP continuing education programs very shortly after that happens, and then into the publications and then into the literature like the Horse Magazine. The professional development of the members is very important. Ethical practice is really extremely important, I think, for any horse owner. You want to know that your veterinarian is always operating under the highest ethical standards, and AAP is basically setting those standards and reinforcing them by their education of the members. And also AAP is providing resources for the industry. The Horse Magazine that's sponsoring this show derives a lot of the information that it gives to its readership through AAP. They contact us when they want to know what are the new things that are happening, or is this research valid, or who should we call about this disease, and we're there for you. So it's really a very, very valuable membership, I believe.
And you just got back from a board meeting of AAP, which is one of the reasons that you're on today to talk about the organization. looking back over 2012, what did you as a board feel were your biggest successes?
Well, we have a whole laundry list of things. The organization is in the midst of a very large laminitis research project, and veterinarians from all over the country are submitting cases, and when the data is analyzed, we'll have a better handle on what are the risk factors for laminitis, which is the disease that every horse owner fears. That was a big one. We gave the funds to enable Operation Gelding to continue, and that is a project that reaches out to horse owners who have difficulty affording gelding for their horses, and that program has provided low-cost gelding operations to over 500 horses. We've partnered with industry to provide vaccines to rescue facilities, biosecurity guidelines for operating breeding facilities were published, and those were spread to facilities so that people who ran breeding operations had a better idea of how to control disease. There has been an ongoing effort, which is still continuing now, and it looks like we may be coming to some consensus soon, for the AEP to work with various groups in the racing industry to try to come to a consensus on uniform medication rules. You're probably aware that the media focused on horse racing quite intensely last year, and it became very clear that one thing that would really help racing would be to have uniform rules for medication and safety for racehorses across all jurisdictions, and we're working very, very hard for that. I think we're really getting close. The AAP Foundation, which is our philanthropic arm, distributed more than almost a quarter of $1 million, $220,000 in grant funds, that every single dollar went to help horses one way or another. We funded veterinary scholarships. We funded equitarian projects, which would be veterinary care for working donkeys and equids in third world countries around the world. A lot of our members participate in that. And then a couple of other things. We voiced very strong support along with the AVMA for HR, the bill called HR 38, which was a ban on action devices and thorn procedures in Tennessee walking horses and other horses of related breeds. Thoring is just a terrible, cruel practice, and AEP has worked very hard to try to ban that all across this country.
And we do have pretty extensive coverage of that on thehorse.com. We have a reporter who follows that beat, so definitely anyone listening, if you want to follow that, you can get on thehorse.com and look it up and find the articles to follow that legislation.
Terrific. Terrific.
And I'm sorry, I interrupted you with that.
I do have a question.
The list could go on and on, but another big initiative that we had last year was we're making some governance changes within the organization, and one of the outcomes of this is that we are definitely in the digital age, and we have created online rounds for our members to participate in. And many of your listeners may be benefiting from this, because what this is a 24-hour chat room for a variety of topics in veterinary medicine. It's a members-only type thing, but your veterinarian, if they belong to one of these chat rooms, can, if they have a puzzling case, they can post the specifics of that case to that chat room and basically have a consult from their colleagues around the world within just a few minutes in terms of suggestions of places to go, things to do, resources to think about. Mm-hmm. So the work is ongoing, and it's exciting to see so many things happening.
Yeah, and I think Glenn had a question.
It's gone. I lost it.
It's gone. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You know me, ADD, if it's 2 minutes, I'm gone.
I'm sorry, Glenn.
That's okay.
So I did want to ask you, Dr. Dwyer, for 2013, does AAEP have one single focus, one big thing that you're going to tackle in this new year?
Well, I would say we have three big things we're going to tackle. We have a list of 30 individual projects, but the three big things we are focusing on are continuing to provide the best continuing education that we can, and in doing this, we'll have our big annual convention, of course, in December, two focus meetings in the summer, which are smaller meetings. One will be on dentistry, one will be on the foot. Two very advanced training sessions also being held in late summer on imaging and working up hind leg lamenesses. The continuing education of these rounds, which are occurring constantly. A big initiative, second initiative that we are pursuing is what we call our stakeholder partnership, and that is the horse world has definitely changed in the last decade or so, and we want to educate all people who own horses on the value of what the veterinarian can bring to their life and to their horse. Want to educate people on what constitutes proper veterinary practice, what are some of the advanced things that we can do for horses. There's a lot of misinformation out there about people who are not trained doing health-type procedures on horses that are sometimes harming the horses, and we'd like to get the word out about that. The value of the physical exam in terms of building the lifelong health that your horse can enjoy if you have some veterinary oversight. And finally, we're going to be also continuing to implement our changes in governance, which are streamlining type changes internally to make sure our operation runs as efficiently as possible and as it stays very current in terms of technology and digital information so that we can respond to changes in the horse world very quickly.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for taking some time out of your morning to talk to us. We sure appreciate it, Dr. Dwyer, and appreciate everything that you and the board are doing for our horses.
Terrific. And I would encourage any of your readers who want to learn more about the AAP to just check out the website, aaep.org. There are all kinds of resources there that they may find of interest, including hundreds of articles on horse health and a service that can let you find a veterinarian in whatever part of the world you live in just by putting in your zip code. We thank our partner Bayer for that.
We also have
pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. And we also on thehorse.com have our coverage of the 2012 AAEP convention. We have, I think, 18 or 19 videos that we did covering sessions. We have articles that are coming out. We've put together, I think, around 125 sessions that we covered while we were there. And those are all coming together in articles. And those are getting reviewed by the speakers as we speak, but we do have some of those that have rolled out. So if people want the cutting-edge information that came out of the convention in December, you can find it on thehorse.com.
Hey, I have a question, Michelle. Do you have any of the videos from the late-night parties that all of the
smartphones? No, the iPhone gets turned off when the working day is done.
Okay, just checking. Thank you both. Thank you, Dr. Dwyer, and thank you, Michelle. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks.
You're very
talk
welcome.
To you next week.
Bye-bye.
See, they're not going to share the good stuff, Jamie.
No, they're smarter than that. That's why they got those years of that education thing.
That's why we have to have Dr. Jones on, because she does tell. She tells.
She'll sell somebody down the river. Well, hey, moving on from that. Now, you remember our favorite Super Bowl commercial of all time, which still to this day, actually this morning, brings me to tears every time I watch it. And, of course, we're talking about the Clydesdale commercial with the guy that's really good looking, and he's got the Clydesdale, and he raises it from a foal. Well, there is an extended version of the commercial. Now, Glenn, I would like you to recap why you and your wife thought that the one thing you didn't like about the commercial, which was what?
Well, the one I think Jennifer and I pointed out that he was sleeping in the stall, which with the horse hovering over him, and just we just didn't think that was really safe.
Yes. Now, if you will go watch the extended version of the Clydesdales called Brotherhood, it's on YouTube. I will post it here in just a second. The extended version actually shows why he was sleeping. Okay, get your tissues ready. He was sleeping in the stall because the horse was sick. And he had the vet out, and it shows the horse laying down, and the vet's behind him listening to his heart, and he's sitting there by his head, and he's stroking his face, and the vet leaves, and he's in the stall with him all night long, nursing him back to health, staying with him in his hour of need, and he wakes up in the morning, and the horse is fine. He's better because of his love, Glenn. How dare you think that it was unsafe?
I think they missed that.
He's back to health.
I think they missed that in the cutting for the final commercial.
It is clearly on the extended version, which I'm going to post online right now. Yes, it may happen really quick, but having read Black Beauty 427,000 times, I can tell you that that is exactly what happened, and I'm putting it right now so you can
see. I got to tell you, I was listening to some other mainstream radio yesterday, non-horsey radio, and almost everybody talked about and agreed, you know, totally non-horsey people agreed that that commercial was the best. It seemed to be universal.
Oh, without a doubt. And I love the fact that everybody's like, yep, Dodge trucks are the best because of their commercial and God became a farmer. I love that one.
You know, and that is true. And, you know, one of the things, too, the Oprah commercial, one of the things that struck me, now we're getting really detailed here, but we're trying to kill 4 minutes. One of the things that really struck me about the two commercials, there was the Oprah commercial about the soldiers, which was heart-wrenching, too. And then there was the Dodge commercial about the farmers. But when you really looked at them, and I guess I do this because we do commercials, but the Dodge commercial about the farmers was all about the farmers until the very end, and then they put the Dodge logo up there, and you finally figure out who it's from.
Yes.
With the Jeep commercial, they had Jeeps woven into the whole thing, and I found that a little disturbing. It was funny because I went, I wish they had done the commercial without the Jeeps and then just put the Jeep at the end like the Dodge did. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I just found that a little disturbing. I don't know.
I think I totally agree with you. You know, it's like if you're going to honor something, honor it for the sake of honoring it and then do your business at the end.
You said exactly what I've been thinking but not been able to put into words. I think that's what it was. It just seemed too self-serving on something that should have been pure.
Well, that is why, my friend, I did not buy a Jeep. Okay, thank you very much. I have a Dodge. And we did just get a new car, and it's a family car, and it's a Volkswagen. So
you just got a new car? Is it a? Oh, wait a minute. Did you get a minivan there, soccer mom?
Ha, suck it. No, I will never have a minivan. Never. Mark my words. I will never own a minivan. However, Chad. Go ahead, what?
I said famous last words. Go ahead.
Well, you know, seeing that we had the big giant Dodge 2500, you know, turbo diesel quad cab, you know, or crew cab, it was, just made more sense that Chad would have a car as well besides his motorcycle, because you cannot slap a baby seat on the back of a motorcycle. It's just frowned upon.
Not encouraged, yeah.
No. So I said, honey, we're going to have to get a car, because if you take the truck to work one day, me and the baby can't run to the grocery store on your motorcycle. So we had to get another car. And so we got a Volkswagen. He actually wanted a Jeep, and I'm glad we didn't get one. He wanted a Jeep Cherokee, but, you know, my mom has one. And my mom has had like 6 Jeep Cherokees in a row. And is it weird that I did not want a Jeep Cherokee, so I did not drive my mom's car, you know? Like,
I got to tell you, though, we enjoy our Jeep. We have the Liberty. And other than that, I'll tell you what really stinks with the Jeeps is gas mileage is awful. And everybody that has a Jeep complains about the same thing. It just seems like I don't know why, but gas mileage on the Jeep just seems to be worse than most other cars.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I feel like my mom has always had bad gas mileage because they make the engines just a little bit bigger than they need. So she had like a V8. Jeep Wrangler, like who? A Jeep Cherokee. Who needs that? Anyway, point being, we got a a car that we can put a baby seat in the back seat, and it's very gas friendly, and it gets about 32 miles to the gallon, and we got a Volkswagen Passat, and we love it, and it has a navigation system in it, so I don't get lost anymore. It tells me where to turn. It's fantastic.
I can tell now Chad's going to be driving the truck to work.
Well, it, actually, every morning it's the discussion of, what car do you want me to take? I'm like, I got to get some hay today. You go ahead and take the car. Otherwise, I'll take the car.
So now, when somebody asked me this yesterday, and I couldn't remember exactly. When exactly are you due again?
I am due on June 5th.
June 5th, okay.
And I had my old lady ultrasound on Monday, the AMA ultrasound.
Yeah, how'd it go? There's still a baby in there and everything's good?
Still a boy. Sadly, still a boy. Just kidding.
That's good to know. Good to know. And you felt better after you went in because you're an old lady and you needed the extra one?
I didn't feel like I needed it. They told me it was required because I'm AMA, Advanced Maternal Age. Shut up. Show you advanced maternal age. Watch what I can do.
I just thought I'd end this show with you all fired up.
Yeah,
thank you, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate it. We'll be back on Friday morning. Don't forget, Friday is the coveted of all prizes for really bad ads, and that's the Flex and Fork from Equity. That's the one we always talked about, and you definitely want. This is a $50 value, and probably with shipping, what, about $70 value? So you want to get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Get them in by Thursday evening. Go to Craigslist. Look through the farm section. You'll find some crazy ads. It doesn't have to be about horses. It can be about other animals as well. We don't care. And so send them in, and we'll be doing some really bad ads on Friday. We have a couple of guests lined up, so it should be fun.
Sounds good, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for sticking with us, and spay, neuter, and geld. Don't forget.
I don't know about you. I'm going to the store to buy some candy. I am really hungry for chocolate right now.
Oh, my God. I had forgotten about it till now. Thanks.
You're welcome. M&M's. Yum. M&M's. Even better.
Reese's. Butterfingers. Snickers. All of them.